Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Get that cutlery ready. It's time for the Off Menu podcast.
I can tell you weren't happy with that one as you said it.
Well, no one ever says get that cutlery ready, do they?
No one ever said that. No. Even people, I'd say, who like manufacture cutlery.
Yeah.
And like, or own a cutlery shop. Yeah. Never say get that cutlery ready.
All right, I'll try another one. Polish those spoons. It's time for the Off Menu podcast.
I thought there was going to be a second part to that.
With Ed Gamble and James Acaster.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
What? So that's look, I'm doing all of this, am I? So I come up with a catchphrase, polish those spoons,
yeah.
Get the cutlery ready.
Yeah.
I come up with a new one every week, two this week.
Yeah.
Say our names, and then you just look at me.
Well, I was trying to think about like a second part to that. I was like, polish those spoons and this should be another thing. It feels like there should be another thing. Polish those spoons and count those moons.
Right, okay, yeah. One.
Huh?
One moon. There's one moon. Why would you count the moons?
Well, it depends.
And it's got nothing to do with food. We're polishing the spoon so it's ready for the soup.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
James, that's true. Explain what the podcast is, mate.
We're going to ask our guests what their favourite ever starter, main course, side, drink and dessert are. And we're going to then make it for them in our magical restaurant, and I am a genie.
Do you always leave that until last?
Well, like, if you start with it, then people think it's all about me being a genie, but it's not.
No, that barely gets mentioned.
It's incidental,
really.
Isn't it? Yeah, you know, it just happens to be that I'm a genie.
Who's the guest this week?
Krishnan Guru Murthy. Yes.
I couldn't believe it that he said yes.
You have no idea the amount of people who have said yes, but then we say no to them.
Yeah. We're horrible like that. Yeah. We ask people if they want to do it, and then they say yes, and we go, no.
Yeah, no way. Bad luck. Goodbye.
Yeah, but Krishnan, absolutely not. He's straight on here.
Yeah, very excited to have him on.
One of the main newsboys.
One of the main newsboys. Probably big newsboys. He knows everything there is to know about news. I imagine there's not a subject he doesn't know about.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so...
We'll see, you know, we'll see. Maybe there might be some topics he's not fully versed on, I doubt it. He probably knows everything about everything.
However, if he mentions a certain ingredient, then he will be out of our restaurant. We will kick him out.
Every week we have an ingredient that we hate and we don't want in anyone's dream meal and we don't want in our dream restaurant. And this week, the ingredient, which I had to look up the name for, is Physalis.
Syphilis.
No, so what do you... Physalis. What did you say?
Yes.
Physalis. Physalis are the little fruits, the little orange hard fruits with weird wing. They look like flies' wings for leaves.
Yeah.
And they put them on pudding sometimes, and they put them on cocktails. I don't know if you're supposed to eat them, but they're hard, they're bitter, they're sour, they're weird. I hate them.
I don't like the leaves.
Physalis can fissile off, fuck off.
That's quite good.
Physalis of fuck off.
Fissile of fuck off?
Fissile of fuck off.
Yeah, that's a Bond villain.
That's what. Hello, Mr. Bond. I am Fissile of fuck off.
Yeah. Immediately, you'd be suspicious if you were Bond.
Yeah.
Just shoot him straight away.
Yeah.
Fissile of fuck off.
Oh, no.
I wasn't born yesterday. So. Oh, I can hear him pulling up in his car now outside the Dream Restaurant. We better get these doors open and let Christian Gwynne Murphy in.
We're here with Christian and Guru Murthy. Hello.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Not at all. It's a pleasure. Well, actually, it's not a pleasure. It's been a bit of a nightmare.
Has it?
Thinking about my favourite food.
I'm
very bad at picking favourites.
Well, no, but this is exciting for us because we already know now you've thought about it in advance and done some preparation, which has not gone for every guest.
a lot of consideration's got into it. That's what we like.
At least half an hour. But I mean, just generally, you've been bubbling around in my head thinking, what are my favourites? And I find it very, very difficult.
Are you quite
it's worse than thinking about Desert Island Discs.
Are you a bit of a foodie? Is that working
hard? I love food, yes. I mean, am I a foodie? I'm not a foodie as in I don't go off, you know, doing pop-ups and cooking huge amounts of things and all the rest of it. But I love food, yes, and I love restaurants and I love trying new things.
So I imagine even though I love doing this podcast, if I was in your position, I would be very stressed, actually, if I'm honest.
Yeah, being forced to pick all the favourites. Yes.
Because I love food and having to, like, you know, really narrow it down. Because have you had to bench some absolute favourites?
Lots and lots. But actually, things pop into your head. I mean, I was walking down the road here past some shops thinking, ooh, that's nice. I didn't think about that. That's really good. And I sort of had to go, no, but it's too late. Just stick with what you're thinking.
Just keep your eyes on where you're going. Don't look at anything to distract you on the way. So this is a dream restaurant we've welcomed you in here. So you can order anything you like.
And it can be from different genres.
It can be from different genres. Yeah, it can be from different times in your life. It can be from different parts of the world. It can be specific restaurants you ate in years and years ago. Whatever you want, because James is a waiter and he's also a genie. So
just come out the lamp.
The genie.
Everything I've said so far, I've been inside a lamp. That's why I'm so echoey, because I was inside a lamp still. But now I'm out of the lamp.
Yeah.
Here I am.
And the wishes are only food related.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I have 1,000 wishes?
We will then make you eat it if you do that. If you have 1,000 meals, we have to make you sit there and finish it all.
So welcome, Christian, into the restaurant, please. Genie waiter.
Have a seat. May I take your coat?
I usually just put it over the back of my chair, but
that's good, isn't it? Do you ever put it over the back of your chair and then you're having a nice meal and then you look and it's fallen on the floor?
That does happen. It does happen. Well, I've got this sheepskin coat that makes me look a bit like a football manager, and that always falls on the floor, so that's very annoying.
Yeah, it's a natural place for the sheep.
Yes.
Can I just say, you were beyond tickled by the idea of someone's coat falling on the floor there, which is very unusual.
Christian's a very, like, you know, I admire Christian Gwynne Murphy, and I think it's funny if, like, you know, something
my coat's on the floor being trampled.
Something that comical happened to him. It's such a slapsticky thing that happens to, you know, highly revered man. made me laugh for some reason.
I just love the idea that, you know, you're a very respected comedian, James. You know, a lot of people think a lot of your comedy, but they'd be very surprised to hear that you really chuckled at the idea of a coat falling on the floor.
Yeah, that's the funniest thing. Someone's coat falls on the floor, and they're not, because you're not aware of it. You're just eating your meal. You don't know it's on the floor.
And you don't know how long it's been on the
floor. Yeah, you know, it's like, oh no, it slipped off the back of the chair.
Sorry, there's a lot going on in the kitchen at the Dream Restaurant at the moment. There's some pans being
clattery,
slung around.
Yeah, we're getting it. It was because someone heard the term 1,000 wishes, and they're panicking in there now. They're absolutely panicking. Oh no, they've got a loophole merchant in.
Let me say, you're the waiter in this, and we've recorded quite a few episodes. My role within the restaurant has never been fully discussed, has it?
Yeah, use code.
Am I just having dinner with our guest?
Yeah.
So I'm the manager. I'm one of those managers who walks around restaurants just checking to see.
Oh, you're the man on the
door.
The maitre d'.
I'll be the maitre d', yeah.
So if you're the manager.
What is the origin of maitre d'?
I have absolutely no idea.
What does the D stand for, I wonder?
Maitre is like mate, like friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the D, James?
Like Mackie D's.
Like Mackie D's, right. Okay, so it originates in McDonald's, okay. Krishnan, is where it comes from.
Yeah.
It's your mate who takes you to McDonald's.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, okay, good.
If you're the manager of the restaurant, does that mean you're my boss?
I own the lamp, yeah.
So you're the one who gets to make a wish and set me free if you ever want to do that?
Yeah, if I wanted to do that, I could set you free. I found the lamp in a bric-a-brac shop.
Oh.
Yeah.
In Kilkenny?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Where did the genie idea come from?
I don't know. I prefer not to corner James
just
about his
one
ideas.
One of those James.
Yeah. Things. I would just have plucked it out of there. Yeah.
Ed was very reluctant about it to begin with, and
still am.
But fair. I just thought, it makes sense, doesn't it? If we're getting you any meal from any time of your life, any place in the world, only a genie could do that.
Yeah.
I'll stand by it. This one probably. For people besides genies could do, but would you like still or sparkling water?
Sparkling, always.
Always?
And I don't like the pressure that people come under now to have tap.
Right, yeah.
I find it really annoying.
Yeah.
You know, what I find really annoying is when the person opposite you says tap before they've even consulted you.
And then you're gonna order sparkling.
The polite thing to do in my life has always been when they say, would you like water, sparkling or still? Look at the person across the table as if to say, what would you like?
Yeah.
And then I usually say, well, I'd like sparkling, but what would you like?
But then if the rule is you look at the person across the table, does that mean you're just going to spend the whole meal just locked in this thing of looking at each
other? Waiting for the other person to do something. It's possible. But now it seems quite fashionable for people to just decide and say, no, we'll have tap.
Yeah.
Which I find fascist almost.
Yeah, well, the way you said about saying your one is much nicer. That's most fascist, isn't it?
Yeah.
People have tap water.
So fascist. Also, if someone orders tap and then you order sparkling, you're going to look very fancy.
Yes. Well, you can't. That's the point. Once they've ordered tap, you have to go, all right, tap. Yeah. I'll come to a restaurant and I'll drink the water that I could have had at home.
Yeah.
So the restaurant experience for you starts with the water. So as soon as you're there, you want to feel like you're having a treat.
It's all different. There's no point going to a restaurant and doing everything that you'd have at home. I mean, it's got to be different.
That's a very good point. Now, I normally have tap water, but when you put it like that, it should be a treat. It should be a restaurant experience. Then why have the sort of thing you can have at
home? Unless you really like tap water, unless you prefer tap water, in which case I'm not against people having tap water.
Yeah.
I'm just against them choosing tap water.
You've called them fascists.
Well,
bunch of absolute fascists.
Yeah, no, it's only when they don't say, but if you'd like.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
If you're in a group, then it's easy because you can just say both.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I mean, you referring to people who order tap water as fascists has really put a lot of the news stories you report on into perspective.
Yes,
I'm going to not take your headlines so seriously next time when you say
it's really bad.
Talk about fascist dictators. I'm like, well, hold on a second, everyone. Let's hear this story.
It just
out.
Means they have tap water.
It might not be what we think it is. But that's fine. Poppadoms or bread? Poppadoms or bread, Christian?
What?
Poppadoms or bread?
That is always shouted.
It's always shouted. Yeah. Bread, I think, actually.
Bread. What?
Bread. Because bread embraces so many things, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I like a variety of bread.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's one restaurant near me, which is a French restaurant, which I don't go to very often, but they do brilliant French bread, which they make themselves. And so when I go there, all I want is that. And it's kind of warm and comforting and nice. But generally, I like a basket of bread.
What's this French place called?
It's called Ma Cuisine in Kew Village.
Ma Cuisine in Kew Village.
Which if I had to guess the name of a French restaurant, I'd probably go with Ma Cuisine or Le Food.
Yes. Yeah. And as I say, I don't really go there very often, but I go there for lunch sometimes with my wife when we have a quiet moment.
Yeah.
And she always has French onion soup.
Yeah.
And I always have bread.
Do you just have the bread?
No,
you
just
have the steak. Yeah. I'd love it if you were known in that restaurant for just coming and eating the initial
really
bread.
Annoying bloke.
Yeah. Third basket of the end of the evening.
Yeah, and then he screams at his wife that she's a fascist.
A fascist throws his bread in the soup, splashes her.
So that's you either like that bread or a selection.
I quite like a selection of bread. I mean, I love what's that Argentinian steak chain?
Gaucho
do that brilliant sort of cheesy,
yes,
warm,
yeah, that's, I mean,
bread that is just gorgeous.
It's a lot of cheese in the middle of it, basically. Yeah
Can't eat a lot of them, but so yeah, I like that idea of sort of a basket of different things, and you get one of those things that's kind of all gooey, and a breadstick. I don't mind a breadstick from time to time.
Gaucho do this whipped dessert. It's like whipped ice cream.
I mean, this is typical of you, James, that we're talking about the bread and your brain is going, we've got to talk about the desserts.
But that's where I had one of the best desserts.
Go on, what was the dessert?
They whipped the ice cream. They whipped it.
Yeah.
So it's actually quite, you know, it's quite soft.
Mr. Whippy. You had a Mr. Whippy at Gaucho.
And there's bourbon in it as well. So it's vanilla and bourbon and all whipped up. It was so nice. It's not so melted nice. Ice cream.
They just added bread into that.
Just add a few breadcrumbs in there. I'm not against bread and pudding, so I'll go for it.
I think that's a good choice because normally people have got one specific type of bread or they don't really know. But what you've gone with is a selection, which is not against the rules.
Not against the rules. I'll let people have a selection.
Can have as many
bread
different breads as you like. Yeah. And that's
bread basket.
The cheesy bread I had in Brazil quite a lot, and it blew my mind the first time I had it. Because you think it's a bread roll, and then you bite into it or tear it open, and it's, I'd say, 80% cheese.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic.
That's very nice. Is it all melted?
It's all melted, but it's quite solid
baked
as well,
in,
isn't
it?
Yeah, it's all baked in, but fantastic.
Yeah. Also, maybe combine the two. You have a selection of bread from my restaurant, or whatever it's called.
Ma cuisine.
Yeah. A bit of ma cuisine French baguettes.
Yeah.
A bit of gaucho cheesy.
Cheesy bread.
Yeah.
A breadstick.
But in the top, like a sparkler.
Yeah.
Actually, see, I mean, if you I mean, it's interesting the choice was poppadoms.
Yeah.
But actually, if you were going to go for an Indian bread, then I would go for a paratha, you know, sort of very buttery, flaky, rich kind of thing in my bread basket.
You could have that in the basket as well, no problem.
Oh, that would be nice. I like mopping up the sauce with that. Thinking about that now.
You see, my mum makes the most amazing Indian flatbreads, which are, I mean, you know, you have chapatis, which everyone knows, which is just the stuff that's basically fried, and then you have puris, which are the sort of the same sort of dough, but shoved in a pan full of boiling hot oil that puff up. And they are absolutely amazing. And you just have them straight out of the pan. And when I was a kid, me and my friends always used to sort of have competitions to see who could eat the most.
Good competition.
My best friend got up to 25.
Oh, wow.
In one sitting.
May he rest in peace.
That's incredible. Me and my friend used to have a similar competition at school where at the end of the school dinner line, so you'd get all your food and then there was like a bit where there was like salads and bread and then a little tray of Dairylea triangles. And we used to just grab as many as we could and put them in our pockets and then go and see how many Dairylea triangles we could fit in our mouth all at once. 11. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
If I may contribute to this, you won't be surprised what mine is. Me and my friends would go to the Pizza Hut buffet and the bottomless. There was a just serve yourself bottomless ice cream.
Yeah.
So the soft serve. So we do that against each other, and you got extra points because you could just put there's loads of Donny mixtures.
Mm-hmm.
You just put loads of that on, and I won. But I did have to. I remember lying down on the back of my friend's car, just really, really sick all the way home.
Really ill. How many ice creams did you have?
I think I had something like, it was like 7 or 8 bowls of this this soft serve ice cream with the with all the Dolly mixtures on it.
Oh my goodness.
Like, getting beat my friend Sean. Still talk about it to this day. Every time I see him, still brings it up. Do you remember when you won that pizza?
But you really lost, didn't
you,
in a way.
And to start, sir, your starter.
Yeah, this is my initial nightmare because basically my favourite starter, I think, is anything that's kind of fresh, seafoody, light, with the exception of the occasional bit of beef, but which doesn't really fit into that. So I think maybe, which might mean sort of oysters, but I think I'm going for a sort of a Japanese tataki.
Oh, yeah. Type thing. Okay.
You know, like sort of a tuna or a beef, or maybe both, to be honest.
That's tuna and
like
beef.
Both. A bit of both on
the tataki
place.
Selection plate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tuna's known as the beef of the
this
sea.
Is like, yeah. As you can see,
is
this
right? Have I made that up?
If you have made it up, it should be a thing.
What was that? I missed that.
Is tuna known as the beef of the sea? Is that wrong?
I don't know where it is now.
It feels like it should be.
I feel like it is.
I've never heard that, but maybe it is.
Oh, so Urban Dictionary says that sea beef is lobster.
What?
But that doesn't make sense to
me. No, tuna.
Yeah.
Well, tuna's meaty, so you certainly think that.
Yeah, it's like a red meat, right?
Yeah. Give myself a tuna steak at home. It feels like a proper...
And you have a tuna steak.
Tuna's the beef of the sea.
Yes, well, we'll call it that.
Do you want to explain what tataki is for the people who don't know at home?
Well, the tataki, I mean, it can be a couple of different things, but basically it's a seared piece of either tuna or beef.
Yeah.
Just really cooked, just on the outside for like 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. But it's served with... soy sauce and chopped onion and just a nice sort of tangy.
Okay, yeah, like a citrusy sauce sometimes.
Citrusy thing with ginger often. Sort of citrus and ginger, that kind of sort of thing. And it just kind of, it's that sort of melt in the mouth, pop it in your mouth thing that is brilliant. But yeah, I think you're probably spotting in my sort of basket of different breads. I'm going for sort of a basket of different tatakis.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'm allowed to do this all
you
the
are,
way through.
But, you definitely are.
But yeah, a bit of tuna and a bit of beef.
A tataki basket sounds fine.
That doesn't work. But also, I think that's a good choice for a starter because it is light, like you say. I think a lot of people have come in and gone just all in, all guns blazing from the starter. Mm. Although you've had quite a lot of bread already. But
sure. You've had a whole bakery, so you probably want to have a...
I think that's a good, fresh, light start to the meal.
Is there anywhere where you've had tataki is like the best stuff you've had? Like you would want me to source this from?
I'm going to sound like a tosser now, but...
No,
not at all. Go for
no,
it.
No, because do you know what? Too many people on this podcast are afraid of sounding like a tosser. And they just choose, they're like, oh, I just go get it from McDonald's, who cares?
Yeah.
I want to hear.
Yeah, this is why we started doing this. Nobu
in Miami. Yeah. Nobu in South Beach many years ago. I remember just going there and just going, oh, wow.
I loved how swanky that was because when you said Nobu, I was like, this is swanky. And not the London brand.
No. I would like the Miami one, please.
We go to Miami.
Welcome to Miami.
But it may also have just been because, you know, food is always about the moment, you know, the time that you're in and the how you feel. And I arrived in Miami with my wife before we got married, actually. And it was a sort of one of those swanky trips. That you do before you have children. And we arrived and it was very late and we went straight to our hotel and thought, right, let's go and get some food. And we saw Nobu and thought, oh, let's give it a try.
Yeah.
And they had a table. And so we went there and so we had it there. And that's why I remember it because actually it was just that moment. It was just that kind of, wow, we're in South Beach and it's amazing. Yeah. We're in Nobu and we got a table and it's just like...
It's connected with all those memories.
It's connected with all of that.
Yeah,
But as a result, I do often have it and it's great.
That first, like, getting someone on holiday and, like, yeah, you kind of have a place in mind to go and you actually get in there without a reservation is an amazing
it's
feeling.
It's the best feeling in the world.
Yeah. Did that in winter.
Actually, it's not the best feeling.
Best feeling in the world. Yeah.
What's really good is when your friends are all talking about, oh, we went to such and such.
Yeah.
And you know they booked and they booked ages ago or it's because they met the guy or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then you just give it a try.
Sports,
always my advice to people who say you can't get into a place, always just turn up, give it a try. I never book restaurants, always just go.
Yeah.
And there's always a chance they've got to.
There's always people who've cancelled. There's
I did that. It was my birthday recently and I was out with some friends and there's a place on the corner that I really like. I thought I'll just go and see if we can get a table for later. And there was two people working at the counter and one of them was very keen to help me out and make sure that we did get a table and the other one kind of early doors went in with, well, you left it a bit last minute, haven't you? So she was really annoyed when it was going well and I was clearly going to get in. So she kept going, oh, yeah, but maybe we can't get you in. And then everyone was like, no, if we move these people here, it should be fine. She's like, yeah, but you know, it's a bit late, hasn't he? So he probably can't get in.
In the end, you managed, it was a table for about 14 people.
14 of us were there.
Yeah.
And,
absolutely, loads of space.
Yep. But it was, she wasn't happy all night. all night. I'd look over every now and again. She's just looking at me like, I can't believe you've landed on your feet. But it's like how you felt when I ordered my sofa and I didn't measure for it. And then it just, it fitted perfectly.
Right. Would this annoy you, Krishnan? James did not measure for his sofa in his new flat. He ordered a sofa but did not measure the space. And I was like, no, you've not measured. It's a nightmare. It's going to be too big. And then it arrived and it was perfect.
Like, it looks like it's made to measure.
I think good on you. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. Ted is happy for me.
I have to admit, yeah. I mean, I've never measured for a sofa either.
Oh, well, that's why. Neither of you are measurers.
You assumed that Krishnan would be on your side because he's a sensible man, but bad luck, he's just like me.
You kind of look at something, I like that. That's how it probably fits.
I hate it when underprepared people land on their feet.
Oh, it was so funny when I sent Ed the photo of the sofa, because it's in this like little, because it's not just like, oh, just fix it. It's like there's this space for it.
It's perfect.
And it's just like, it's like a Tetris block. It's right in there. Oh, and he's so annoyed.
And what were you going to do if it didn't?
Don't know. Didn't have a plan.
It was a genuine guess.
This is the point.
I was going to be really upset with myself. I was going to walk around, you know, chastising myself. You should have measured it. You're an idiot, James. I would have been like that. But instead, I laughed so much. I sat in the picture.
It's like once I was getting a plane to a gig with another comic, and I was on my way to the airport, and I got a call from him saying, I've gone to the wrong airport. So I'd planned it all. I was going to Heathrow. I was like, I've gone to Gatwick by accident. I'm going to have to come from Gatwick to Heathrow. I was like, well, that's what really happens when you don't prepare. You've not prepared, unfortunately. And then I arrived at the airport and I checked in and he'd made it before me. Well, I think I was just about to leave, and then he like got a bus or something or raced across London and just got there really quickly.
Like a cartoon character. That's great.
That would make me quite annoyed. The fact that my friend had gone to the wrong airport would make me really angry.
Yeah, I mean, that was annoying in itself, but then he got there before me, so it worked out better for him. And that friend was James Aker. No, it wasn't.
No way. I'd never go on a plane with Ed.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Your main course, Krishnan. That's a very strong start, by the way. I think of all the starters we've had, that's the one I would like to try so far. So that's a good, very nice.
Solid start.
My mum makes... So in this strange genie-like restaurant, my mum is suddenly now the chef.
Yeah.
My mum makes the most amazing prawn curry, usually with tiger prawns, big tiger prawns. Oh. But are butterflied, and it's quite a coconutty curry, and it's the best prawn curry you can get anywhere. And I it's one of those things. It's very difficult having a good cook for a mum, particularly with Indian food, because a lot of Indian food in this country is sort of concocted. It's not, it's not really home cooking. It's kind of that version of Indian food that is Indian restaurant food. And so you spend a lot of time in Indian restaurants, go, but it doesn't taste like Yeah. Like the cooking at home or at your friend's house or whatever it is. And that is the case with this curry. It's just, it's quite a simple curry. I've tried making it myself. Can't quite get it absolutely right.
Yeah.
But it's all about that. It's that instinct thing of how much you put in. Trying to get a recipe off my mum is impossible.
Because it's just all in her head and she...
Well, yeah, and she'll say, then you put in some whatever. Put in a bit of chili powder and you go, well, how much? And she'll go, well, and so she then tries to sort of measure it out and says, well, put half a teaspoon in or put a teaspoon in of this or whatever it is. And obviously she's just spent her life doing it by feel because she kind of taught herself when she came to this country that she didn't know how to cook. And so learned it all herself. And so she does it brilliantly. And it's just a really, really sort of simple thing. I wouldn't sort of want a huge amount of other stuff with it. It's basically just a prawn curry with white basmati rice and a bit of yogurt. And
how hot is this curry?
Depending on
the menu and there was chilies next to it.
It would not be very hot. It would be a 3 out of 5.
Okay.
Because I can't really deal with very hot stuff anymore because I have Crohn's disease, which chili's really bad. But in any case, I'm a bit rubbish with very hot food. So it doesn't have to be really hot. It's just got to have enough chili. And it's about fresh chili as well, I think. Mm-hmm. It's the flavour of the chili. So it's got to have enough to give it the flavour, but not so much that it becomes unpleasant.
And is this your whole life, this curry? Do you remember a time when this curry wasn't in your life?
Yes. It's not something we used to have when we were really kids. It was something that kind of... I remember starting to have when I was sort of a teenager, about sort of 14, 15. Mm-hmm. And also because of the availability of fresh, big Asian tiger prawns wasn't that good
a long time ago in the
70s and 80s. I don't think it was that easy to get all that stuff, whereas now you can obviously get anything from anywhere all the time. And it was sort of killed yesterday. And so the availability of all this stuff has kind of transformed it. So it's much more a thing of the last... 20 years, or 25 years maybe. And it's me and my brother's favourite dish actually as well.
Have you asked for it for your birthday before? On your birthday, for your birthday meal, have you said, Mum, I'd like the...
Not my birthday, but for special meals, yes. Yeah, we say, can you make prawn curry?
How often would you say you ask for the prawn curry? How often are you going over and saying, it's a special occasion, it's a Tuesday?
Yeah, no, when we were younger, a lot, and my brother used to do it an awful lot, but... Not that much now, because it seems unfair.
It's a bit of a piss take, isn't it?
Every week. Quite a lot.
I'm a big fan of coconut and curries and stuff. My mum makes this Thai fish kind of like soup, but it's loads of coconut. I think that's my favourite thing that my mum makes.
Is it?
Yeah. When I go around, if I ask for it, if it's birthday or something like that, I'll have the Thai fish soup. Oh, so I tried to make that myself. Got the recipe off of her and just didn't. What was really annoying is I was close. First of all, I was like, I've done it. I've nailed it.
Yeah.
And then there was this aftertaste that was not.
I tell you, you're missing an ingredient, James.
Mm?
A mother's love.
Oh, yeah?
You know what? In my head, that sounded really lovely and homely. And then when I said a mother's love, it sounded really creepy and I didn't mean it to.
Yeah, suddenly it was
mother's
good.
Mother's love.
Because the way you shifted your voice, you did the deep
voice.
Yeah,
and I leant into the microphone.
Yeah, you said a mother's love.
But it's the subtleties of flavour, though.
Yeah.
That your mother can deliver.
Yeah.
That you can't. And I can't.
Yeah.
One can't.
Well, I can't.
Because... You do just trying to follow the recipe, and the recipe's always wrong. Because
it's practice, it's all instinct. Yeah.
And it's when it goes in and how long it's
even
there.
Even the pan that they're using.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's a pan that you use over and over again for the same recipe, every time you're cooking it, you're seasoning the pan.
It's got flavour in it.
Yeah.
That pan. Pan's got some flavour in it anyway.
Well, they say that about paella, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
The paella dish has got... Because they don't wash them. You can't wash
really?
Them.
Really? They never wash
they
them?
They must wash them a bit.
No, you don't. You oil them.
Oh.
You oil the paella pan. You don't wash it with soap.
What are they doing? So hold on. Everyone's eating the paella and then they put some oil in and then scrub the oil around it.
Basically, yeah.
Ah, and then it adds flavour every time. So you taste the last paella.
Well, I don't know. But
I'm not
a big paella maker, but I have made it a couple of times. And I do know that you're not supposed to...
That sounds
because
like...
I furiously scour my pans, and so does my mum. So it's not the pan with my mum; it's just her knowing what she's doing.
Yeah.
But
your mum's got clean pans.
We're all slightly obsessive about that. But I know with a paella dish, you're not supposed to sort of scrub it with soap and all the rest of it. You're supposed to clean it out and all the rest of it, but then oil it and leave it. So it's still got a little bit of something in it.
It sounds like that was started by one lazy Spanish chef.
Possibly.
Yeah. It was like, are you going to clean your pan? No. No, you've got to leave the flavour in it.
Do you think he also washes
himself
in oil?
I don't think it's a dirty pan. I think you do clean it, but you don't kind of, you don't scour it with detergent to scrape everything off and make sure it shines. You know?
Oil it up.
Yeah.
Tesco used to do this paella.
No one was expecting Tesco to be the next word there.
I know. But they did this like microwavable paella that I absolutely loved.
Yeah.
I used to buy it all the time.
And you just oil the plastic dish.
Yeah, oil the plastic dish and then I'd go back into Tesco and go, could you please just refill this with some paella, please? Yeah. I will pay for a new one, but I just want it in this dish again so I can put it in the microwave.
Keeps the flavour.
You just oiled that plastic dish again, you disgusting boy. But I don't know if they do it anymore, because I don't live near a Tesco anymore. If anyone does live near a Tesco and they want to tweet us in, let me know if they've got the paella. It's in the round one. It's not the rectangular one. Don't be mistaken. Or was it Sainsbury's? No, it was Tesco, I'm pretty sure.
There's occasionally on this podcast, there is like a few minutes where James tries to remember something.
Yeah, one of the highlights of one of the episodes was me trying to remember what I dipped in some sour cream once. and it was some Poppadom Sensations, mini Poppadom Sensations, lime and coriander.
Well, that was the perfect combination.
Yeah, it was delicious. It was so good. And
because if there's any old ground that needs recovering, it's that. We definitely need a recap.
the listeners love it. They tweet about it all the time. Mainly because they were frustrated because it took so long of the podcast to remember it. But it's fine. But yeah, if anyone lives near a Tesco, let me know if they've got the big round pile of still that you can microwave. I'll happily travel and get another one of them.
Travel?
Yeah.
Like it's going to be anything over than 20 minutes.
To be honest, though, actually, it's a bit weird that I'm even... Because I've actually got a Tesco walking distance. I might just go there.
He's lost his mind.
I might do it.
Your mum's prawn curry.
Yes,
right.
That's where we are. And they're the big prawns. They're like the prawns that, like, you know, they come on the shell and they're going to be like 5 or 6 inches. Mm. And then by the time you've got all the gubbins out, which is not pleasant. Have you ever done that? Deveining the prawn and all that kind of stuff, very important.
Deveining the prawn, yeah.
So you just slit it down the back.
Yeah.
And then try and take out...
Peel out the poop chute.
Which is not nice, but I kind of do it by a sink. Yeah. And then they kind of... Then because they've been slit down the back, they then kind of curl up and butterfly and open up. They're really nice.
Oh, so they naturally do it like that.
So they don't look anything like a prawn when you get them in the dish. They look round.
Right.
Round and chunky.
Little hoops.
Yeah. Well, no, not hoops. They're just circles.
Hmm. Oh, like no hole in it. Not like a donut.
Not like a donut, James. No.
Oh, but like a donut without a hole in it.
The hole is generally closed up because they're quite tight. But there could be a donut. There's probably a hole there. I mean, there is a hole there. It's just kind of the
it's
prawn
not
is shriveled
visible,
up. The prawn
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But probably I shouldn't go around referring to prawns as donuts.
No,
is that what we're saying?
No. They're not a lot like donuts.
Yeah, that's fair enough. What yogurt are you put? You said some yogurt. What yogurt are you putting on there?
Well, see, this is the problem because we're getting into my side dish.
Oh, are we?
Okay.
We can segue into your side dish.
Yeah,
if you want.
Well, because I think yogurt has to be my side dish because I have a lot of yogurt. And the best yogurt, again, is a homemade yogurt.
Yes.
Which is cultured.
I wouldn't know where to start making a yogurt at home.
No, I wouldn't actually.
No, neither would I. But it's the kind of thing that mums and grandparents did. And they would have a bit of yogurt and they would make yogurt from the yogurt. And don't ask me how.
So where does the first yogurt come from?
Well, somebody made yogurt somewhere.
And then it's just been passed down.
It's a bit like the earth.
Yeah.
And existence. You know, it's just like somewhere, something. It's like there was a big bang.
Yeah.
Mm.
Some yogurt was made.
Yeah.
And from the first yogurt,
all other yogurts,
and that bacteria or whatever it is very important in the making of the yogurt.
So all yogurts have come from the same yogurt.
No, I don't think so. I made that up.
All of them.
But
crunch corners.
But no, like you
all
can
come
have
from that yogurt.
Actually, my wife's mother did this as well for years and years in Australia. She's Australian, and she used to say she used to make yogurt, and for years it would essentially be the same yogurt.
Yeah, like sourdough. Makes, like when people do sourdough bread, it's like the same start. They have like a starter. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
you'd
yeah.
keep like a little jar of like the sourdough, and you use a little bit to start the yes. next loaf.
Yeah.
So it all comes from.
So when I was growing up, my mum would always have this sort of bowl of yogurt in the fridge that was being made or cultured or whatever it is. So that yogurt probably is the best yogurt. And you can also, we're still getting complicated. I'm complicating myself now. I've just contradicted my own dessert, but we'll come to that right. later. Because you can. That yogurt, or these days, just Greek yogurt.
Okay, Greek yogurt. Would you put anything in the yogurt, or
no,
is it just plain yogurt?
I think we've got to get your family yogurt. I mean, that's like, you know, that sounds more special.
Yeah, I think family yogurt.
Family yogurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, not some, I just kind of pop down, I could pop down Tesco and get some Greek yogurt.
I really like spiced yogurt as well. I don't know if you've had spiced yogurt.
No, what's spicing the yogurt?
Well, particularly in India, like if you have a lassi, a yogurt drink that might be spiced, You can spice a thicker yogurt as well.
Yeah.
And have a, you know what a raita is, which is a chopped cucumber and onion and tomato or whatever it is in yogurt. Then you can also put a bit of spice in there as well and just have a sort of a big taste sensation of a yogurt.
Yeah.
But to be honest, yogurt. I just like plain yogurt because I kind of use it to kind of bring down the heat and just, you know, spread it out a bit.
First time I had a mango lassi. Holy moly. You can
imagine. Do you remember where you were?
Yeah, I can actually.
Where were you?
I was in Cardiff with Henry and Josh Widdicombe.
The home of mango lassi.
Yeah, so it's quite late in my life. Quite late in my life when I had a mango lassi. So I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
And there was this vegetarian place that they really liked. And we went there to get the cheese dosers there, the Widdicombe boys.
Cheese dosers?
Yeah, that's what they did there at the time.
Okay.
And that's what
in paneer, I suppose.
I guess so. Yeah. But that's what they really, really liked. And I was like, and they were like, we're getting mango lassies. I was like, what's that? Followed suit. And obviously.
Changed your life.
Oh, so sweet. I loved it. I was like, this is all I want to drink from now on. So good, a mango lassie. Also just nice to say. I like saying it. Rolls off the tongue.
But you're saying it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it rolls off the tongue. It shouldn't.
It's not lassie. It's not the dog.
What?
It's. Although
she was made of mangoes.
Yes, I know it's spelt like the dog, but it's a sound. It's lussy.
Lussy.
Like a U.
Mango lussy.
Yeah. See, the A sound in a lot of Indian words and languages is not A or A, it's A.
Right.
Like Krishnan. N-A-N, Krishnan. That's how you say it.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, I hope I said that right. Early.
So my brother's name is Ravi. R-A-V-I, as in Ravi Shankar, the sitar player. But everyone calls him Ravi.
Oh, God. I've definitely been saying that
my whole life. Ravi like Lassie.
Yeah.
It's actually Ravi and Lassie.
Oh, man. I'm very anxious now because I know.
It's
that
so
I have
funny
not
that you spent so long like, going, and it's so nice to say.
I love saying. So it's a mango lassie.
No, mango is fine. That's actually I've gone and screwed up my own rule. It's not mango. It's
mango.
It's mango
lassie.
Yeah.
Mango lassie.
I don't think I've ever had a lassie.
What?
I don't think I've ever had one.
You gotta do it. They're delicious.
Do I have to go to Cardiff?
Yeah.
Have you?
That's the home of the lassie.
You've been to Indian restaurants.
I've been to Indian restaurants, but I've never. I wouldn't. I've just not touched a lassie before.
Oh, get them from Cardiff.
Definitely have one.
But when in the meal would I have it? Would I have it with the meal? Am I having it before the meal?
I had it straight away before the meal. Yeah, that might be wrong.
I have it before, and I'm trying to tell you where to go to have it.
Do absolutely.
Because there's a brilliant Indian street food restaurant.
There was a place in Soho.
Chinasto. Or Nasto.
Chinasto.
It's Chinasto and Hammersmith Grove. It's absolutely
beautiful. Oh, I live quite near there.
Really?
Yeah. I'll go there.
You've not gone, yeah. Go there and they do brilliant lassies. And great great martinis as well, actually.
So. Oh, great.
That doesn't sound like a good mix.
they do lychee martinis, I think, as I remember. So order a lassi and a martini.
That is going to be quite the night out for me.
That sounds delicious.
I'm going to do it.
There was a very, for briefly, this is very short-lived, there was a place in Soho that was just called Mango, and everything it served was mango stuff.
That is...
It did not last long.
No.
mango lussies.
Yeah,
it was like, yeah, everything was mango-y.
You would struggle, because the best mangoes are only available for a few weeks a year.
Right, yeah.
So how long was it open? A few weeks.
Yeah. And they had a comedy gig there, and that's how I know about it.
What?
There was a gig in the back. So I played Mango about three times.
If it wasn't called Mangoes Into a Bar...
No, it wasn't, actually.
Right.
Gareth Morvenen's fault. Gareth, if you're listening...
Was that his gig?
Yeah, he used to put that gig. Morvenen did. Wow. So if you're listening, Morvenen, why did you not call it Mangoes Into a Bar? Right, so yogurt was your side dish.
Yes.
Yogurt was my side dish on the basis that if you're going to have something that isn't your prawn curry, then
that
has to be your side dish.
But that's good. So your meal is fitting together. Some people don't necessarily just pick stuff around them.
You could have a completely different side dish because no one's judging you.
You could have a completely different side dish. You could have chips if you wanted.
It's quite hard not to have chips.
It is difficult generally to not have chips. Yeah. I completely agree with that.
Good, very true.
Yeah, sod the yogurt. I think maybe chips.
You can have the yogurt as part of the main.
Because it also depends when you say your dream, you know, what is the context of the meal? Is it like my last meal? Am I about to be executed?
Doesn't have to. I mean, you know, people take it how they want.
It's just the best stuff you've ever had, best food you've ever had.
It's hard.
Because you can have the yogurt as part of the main meal, because the yogurt goes with the curry. Mm. And then you can have a completely disconnected side dish, so you could bung some chips in there if you wanted.
I think I'd do that.
If I could do that.
Yeah. No,
yogurt
with
chips. The main.
Yeah. And I think you'd have to have those, you know, double or triple cooked.
So the thick triple cooked ones from
crispy
like
ones.
Yeah, from nice restaurants where you might only get six, but what a six.
But they'll come in a little pile, the crisscrossed pile of the six.
Oh, actually, no. I don't like that.
I saw the regret in your face.
Not happy with that small little sort of, you know, you can have two that way and two that way and two on the top. I hate that.
Yeah.
I want a pile of chips.
Pile of chips, yeah.
But they should also be...
super crispy.
Super crispy and well-cooked.
First person who just stacked up six chips together. What were they thinking? In their head, they must have been doing that evil villain laugh from films.
Yeah, looking at the overheads on
God.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's just... I hate that, actually, when that comes.
Yeah, it's very annoying.
Really
hate it.
They put a lot... That's putting a lot on how the chips taste, isn't it? Like, you better make sure they're good chips if you've got...
It is just a chip at the end of the day. Yeah. I mean, chips are great, but, you know, there's not a lot of subtlety to the flavour.
Yeah.
It's just a chip.
Yeah, you got it. I mean, although, I remember when curly fries came out. And
were you at the launch?
I don't remember when they came out, but I remember when like they started becoming a bit more of a thing.
You remember when they cut the big curly ribbon
and we all went in. Yeah, it was great. But they were I couldn't get enough of them.
I'm still pro curly fries.
Yeah, I love them.
You don't see them in a lot of places.
They're starting to deplete now. They're starting to kind of like
I can't recall having curly fries.
Wow.
You've never had them?
There's a place in Hammersmith Grove.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think where I may have had curly fries, and I can't think.
I don't know why they're not on every menu that has chips.
Should be.
Because sweet potato fries are big now. I don't know why curly fries aren't available.
Curly fries are better. I would choose curly fries over sweet potato fries in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
They've always got like a Cajun seasoning on them.
Seasoning's great.
So great.
Oh, mamma mia.
But are they curly as in just curly, as in a chip that's... curved?
It's like a spring.
Or no, they're spirals.
Coiled like a spring.
Yeah, they're coiled like a spring.
Spiral.
Yeah. So you get different textures.
I've never seen that.
It's crispy on
the
ends.
You've never seen it? Hold on.
Where do you eat?
Are we telling you about
curly fries? You've never seen a curly fry?
I've never seen a curly fry. Yeah, where do we get that?
You even know that was a thing until we brought it up?
No.
We are getting exclusives on this podcast. Krishna Gurumurthy has never seen a curly fry before.
Just heard about a curly fry for the first time, listeners. We're telling Krishna the news. you must have not been in the newsroom that day, Krishna. When they got curly fries, you must have been out. Hugh Edwards was in that day. He knows all about curly fries.
He's all over curly fries.
No, seriously, where'd you get a curly fry?
Well, this is a good question.
I mean,
you can buy them and take them home. So they're in the supermarkets in bags.
You can do that.
But you can also get them in, there's some like, I would say there's a lot of places that are like, you know, like family pub places that have like maybe soft play areas and stuff would have it as an item on the menu, like, want an upgrade to curly fries?
Curly fries
50p extra or whatever. Have some curly fries.
Okay.
Do they have like peri peri salt on them or something like that?
Kind of a spicy Cajun.
Paprika.
Like,
yeah, here is a sentence I never thought I'd say. I'm about to show Krishna Guruberthy a picture of a curly fry.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
That's what we're talking about.
Oh, that doesn't look nice.
First time you see the curly fry. That is a particularly long curly fry.
That's not
yeah,
big,
that is
it?
A, it's a big
that's
one.
That's a really long one. That's, yeah, yeah. That's the size of a jumbo sausage, Ed.
That's like a little Victorian yeah, girl's ringlet.
I think that's a little bit daunting for your first view of
yeah,
a curly
yeah.
fry.
I'm so sorry. I didn't ease you in, Krishnan. I'm
sorry,
so sorry.
Krishnan. No one goes in at that size curly fry, a jumbo sausage.
Happy with that?
It looks like an onion ring.
Right, okay.
Yeah, God, those ones do.
This didn't
ones.
Go as well as I'd hoped. Yeah,
okay. I think what we're learning here is that there's not many good photographers of curly fries. That's not many good curly fry photographers
yeah.
to show Krishnan his first ever curly
fry. There
must fry.
Be something on Instagram.
Yeah.
There's probably a curly fry.
There's probably an account that's dedicated to curly fries.
Yeah. No, if there's not, there will be after this.
Yeah. If one of our listeners would like to set up an Instagram account entirely dedicated to curly
fries hashtag. There is a curly fries hashtag.
Oh, and yeah. Also,
okay,
you know,
now I can see curly fries.
Yeah.
They still look hideous.
Yeah, like the look of them. I'm so privileged to be here the first time Krishnan's heard of or seen curly fries. Obviously, you know, anyone who follows Krishnan on Twitter,
it's been a sheltered upbringing.
Please feel free to tweet some pictures of some curly fries at him in the future. Educate him as much as possible.
Thanks.
We're going to find one day. We are going to find a picture of curly fries that you like. So if you want to tweet Krishnan a picture of curly fries, saying "What about these ones?"
What about these ones? That's what you got to write. You're not allowed to write anything else. All that has to say is "What about these ones?" And then Krishnan will reply to them all. Right, great. So
you've got triple cooked chips as a side.
And you want a big bowl of them, a nice big amount of
big amount of
salt and vinegar? Ketchup?
Oh, yeah, lots of vinegar, yeah.
Ketchup, mayo?
Ketchup, not mayo. I mean, my opinion on mayonnaise has shifted over the years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is not a European thing, but there's a pub down the road from the newsroom, Channel 4 News, called the Calthorpe Arms, where we often go. And they are brilliant people, and they often bring us a bowl of chips, just to be nice.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And they will often bring a little tub of ketchup and a little tub of mayonnaise that goes with it. And over the years, because I've been at Channel 4 News for 20 years of a little tub of mayonnaise with the chips has slowly sort of converted me, because obviously the ketchup always goes first.
Yeah.
So when the ketchup goes and there's nothing else to dip into, you do go for the mayonnaise.
You find yourself straying to the mayo pot.
I'm not against mayonnaise in the same way that I would have been had you asked me 10 years ago.
Okay, that's good to know.
That's good. I'm probably the opposite. I think in school and stuff, I was big into mayonnaise on chips, and now ketchup every time. I probably...
Just that's go. Really surprising. You had mayonnaise on chips at school.
Yeah. It was
what
a big thing at my school.
Did you go to?
It was a Montague School in Kettering. It's now an academy. It's completely changed now.
Right. No mayo anymore.
No, the school I went in, it's not there anymore. It's under a tennis court, that's true. but yeah, we all just went through a phase of all having mayonnaise on chips. Maybe it's because in Pulp Fiction they say at the start, I think maybe one kid has seen Pulp Fiction and then it caught on.
I love mayo on chips. I don't really like ketchup. I find it too sweet. Don't think it goes well on chips.
Okay, well.
Or anywhere.
Okay.
Mayo on chips.
Puris and ketchup. Going back to the little flatbreads that my mum makes.
Yeah.
Puris and ketchup is a thing.
Well, I'm going to try that.
It's a proper thing.
Yeah.
I'll try that. Ed agreed to have that one.
I'll have that one.
Good.
I'll have a mango lassi. If you eat a curly fry.
Yeah, I'll try a curly fry.
All right, good.
We'll have a day where we all do this. Yeah. Your drink, we started your drink ages ago.
Yeah.
went back to the side.
You talked about a few drinks. Well, I mean, start off sounding like a tosser, carry on, I guess. I really like a nice glass of champagne. Absolutely. When I go out to a restaurant.
Lovely.
I like to begin with a glass of champagne.
Mm-hmm.
And not any old champagne, you know, sort of a nice glass of champagne. So if I can have any drink I want, you know, a really nice glass.
Yeah. Is there a specific champagne?
A really nice glass of Bolly, you know, is quite hard to sort of quite hard to beat. I hate myself listening to myself on this,
This is
what people tune in for.
But I think, you know, but starting off a meal like that is great.
Yeah. I feel champagne goes straight to my head. Mm-hmm. I can't really handle champagne. Maybe one glass. And the same with any, like Prosecco, any sparkling wine. One glass I can have, but otherwise it really knocks me for six.
Interesting news.
And too fizzy. I end up a burpy giggling mess.
I mean, going back to my birthday again, Ed.
Yeah.
So my birthday started like midday, and we just had the whole day eating and drinking.
Yeah.
And Ed immediately was like, "We're getting champagne." Really pushy, weren't you, all day?
Yeah, because I thought it was funny.
I kept on saying no. Eventually, you get some champagne. Like, right at the end, you got some champagne.
It's because I said, "I'll buy you a bottle of champagne." You said, "I don't want any champagne. I don't like champagne." So it immediately became funny to buy you a bottle of champagne.
Yeah, he was really looking forward to it all day. And now I've learned that Ed doesn't even like it that much. It goes to his head and he becomes a burpy, giggly mess.
But that was right at the end of the night anyway, so I was already a burpy, giggling mess.
Yeah, then it was not a good end to the night.
No, it was...
They bought me a flaming shot. What do you think about that, Krishnan?
As in a sambuca?
No,
it was.
But it was absolutely disgusting.
So a drink that was on fire.
I burnt my lips.
Yeah, you're supposed to blow it out first.
I blowed it out first, but I did blow it out. But then, like, the glass was really hot. I burnt my lips on the rim of the glass.
Happy birthday!
You would. Actually, the only variation to that, I suppose, if we're starting with tataki, mm-hmm. would be sake.
Sake, yes.
Sake
and tataki is really, really nice. But I'm a bit uncouth when it comes to sake. So I really like hot sake, which is terrible. You know, I mean, everybody thinks that's really naff.
Is it?
Yeah, you've got to have cold sake, apparently. But I like hot sake.
Why is hot sake naff?
I think it's like drinking just look down baby upon. Sham. You know?
Right, okay. I'd never really had sake. And then I went to like a Japanese expo thing in London. And I did a sake tasting thing where you just went round about sort of 12 different people who were selling different types of sake. And by the end, I was pissed and bought a bottle of all of the sakes. And I've still got them because I can't do it. I had too much sake that day, including, I've had these actually, jellied sake, which came in little cans.
I've never had that.
That it was like citrus flavour. I mean, I'd imagine this is...
In a can?
Yeah, naff.
How'd you get it out?
Well, you just have to really tip it. And it sort of comes out like, it's like sort of liquidy, but also jelly-y. It's an odd texture. I absolutely loved it. But
right.
It was, yeah.
What flavour was it?
Lemon.
Lemon jelly sake. Wait, and you got that from this?
From this Japanese expo, but I'm sure you can find it. It was in little mini cans. It was absolutely delicious.
I don't think Cushion's sold on that. You don't seem to really...
I mean, I wouldn't be against it, but I mean, it's sounding a bit like a lemon vodka.
Yeah, it's a bit like a jelly shot, exactly. Yeah,
jelly shot. Yeah,
yeah.
But you would want champagne.
I think champagne.
Yeah, that was your first instinct, I think. Yeah.
I mean, I really like sour drinks. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I like margaritas and I like, you know, dry champagne and anything with lime and lemon in.
I like sour beer. I've got into sour beer like within the last year.
What kind of thing?
Absolutely love it. Well, actually, I don't know their names, so that's me being useless. But like, I was in Amsterdam, and I went for a meal on my own to this place. So I kind of walked quite a long way, found this place. I ate a beef Wellington for two, just myself. got some roasted cauliflower on the side. Didn't order dessert, and yet they just gave me a mini little ice cream anyway. It was great. And then on the way home, I really needed a shit, so I went into this pub. And I went to the pub and it was empty. So that meant the guy behind the counter saw me come in, just go to the toilet, be in there for long enough that I'm clearly not having a wee, and then come out. And so I was like, I've got to order a drink.
Yeah.
And I said, can I have something that's like a local, locally brewed thing? And he poured me this sour beer. And I think that's probably the best drink I've ever had. Like top, it's in the top tiers. It's weird that it's one of the nicest drinks I've ever had.
It was you don't know what it was.
I don't know what it was called.
That's tragic. Meeting the love of your life and then getting a number.
Yeah, it is kind of like that.
But you know what Krishnan was saying about his starter being connected with nice memories?
Yeah.
I think you were on a post-shit euphoria.
You think that was what it was? Yeah. I was so happy that I'd had all the shit. So I knew I wasn't going to make it back to the apartment. So that was what, it was such a relief to go in there and just find a toilet.
And then whatever you'd had to drink whatever would be connected with that memory. Whatever I drank would
have been the best drink ever. I was dancing home thinking, I met the love of my life. Well, we come to the dessert. This is obviously my favourite course.
Are you a dessert man?
Big dessert person.
Yes.
Excellent.
A big pudding. I mean, I grew up in the north, so pudding is a big thing for me.
Yeah.
And so any kind of, you know, steamed pudding with custard is fine.
Stick to your ribs puddings.
But I think a chocolate steamed pudding has to be the thing.
Yeah.
You know, a gooey chocolate sponge pudding.
Nice. So with the sponge and then an extra chocolate sauce on top?
Or you know, where it's a sort of a melted in the middle kind of chocolate pudding.
Oh, okay.
Where you spoon into it.
Yeah.
And there are two, I suppose, that I would cite.
Uh-huh.
One is the one you can buy and stick in the microwave from Marks and Spencer's.
Right.
Excellent.
And the other is from E&O in Notting Hill, which is a slightly posher version of it, but it's basically the same thing. But it's the restaurant version, so it's a bit more bitter and a bit posher. But they are, that is the best way to end a meal, I think.
What about a homely, nice,
bit of gooey
comforting,
chocolate.
Gooey chocolate pudding?
What's E&O like? I mean, I've never even heard. I lived in Ladbroke Grove for about 4 years. I've never heard of this place.
Really? Well, I suppose. I mean, it was incredibly fashionable years ago, and it's a great place. It's sort of Asian-y, fusion-y. So you can go in and you can have sort of sushi type stuff, Japanesey type stuff, other Asian-y type dishes. But it's not. It doesn't stick to any particular thing. It's not a Japanese restaurant. But it's got a sort of an Asian feel to it.
Missed out.
You missed out. You could have had chocolate pudding.
Missed out. I went to Itsu in Notting Hill quite a lot.
Oh. Yep.
I mean, and I had this place on my doorstep.
What are you having? So are you having a cold component with it as well? Or is it just the hot pudding? Or would you have some cream with it? Or
generally not, to be honest. I mean, no, I'm quite purist about the chocolate pudding, I'd say.
Just have as is.
Just the chocolate pudding and the chocolate sauce.
The Marks and Spencer's one, they've done an advert for that pudding, haven't they? They've done their classic trademark advert for it.
Was it in the "This is not just a chocolate"?
Yeah, the sexy voice.
Maybe, I don't know.
And it feels like you can imagine them slow motion cutting it.
There are two though. I don't know whether you've ever noticed. There is the melting middle chocolate pudding, and there is the other chocolate pudding, which has kind of got sauce around the side.
Right, and you're up for the melting middle?
No, actually, sorry. In a restaurant, generally yes, but in that particular genre. I think the bog standard one.
Sponge
is the
and sauce, rather.
Why is that?
Than sauce within the sponge.
Just, I don't know.
You don't trust the one on the inside.
It's not that I don't trust.
It's just too hot in the microwave.
It's just, it's just something about the overall experience.
You don't trust. I think you just don't trust it because it's the sauce is hiding.
Are you eating them cold? If you're honest, you're not even putting them in the microwave. You're just popping them in on the way home.
Oh, dear. It hasn't taken long, has it?
little car snack.
Yes, you could. No, they're not my car snack. That's another podcast altogether.
Do you have a car snack?
I have all sorts of car snacks. It's really, really bad and very, very unhealthy.
You went somewhere there.
Yeah, you really glazed over. You stared into the distance. I thought I was going to look over and see like.
Yeah, no, I was thinking, no, I can't possibly admit to that.
Oh, you can admit to it.
No, well, I do have this slightly secret thing that I do sometimes when I go to M&S and do a food shop.
Yeah,
I have this slight weakness for the M&S custard tart.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And my wife gets really annoyed if I come home with a packet of custard tarts because she says, you're just buying this stuff and it's really bad for you and you're just trying to lose weight and you get fat and then you're just like, you know, why'd you buy it? Uh-huh. And so sometimes what I do is I buy the 2 packet of custard tarts and I wait for it right at the end and I put it on the top of the bag so that it's there on the top of my bag when I go to my car and I eat it between I ate both of them between leaving Marks and Spencer's and getting home. And then I dispose of the evidence so that my wife never knows.
So
and now
great.
She knows I've blown.
She'll hear this and go, this explains why he refuses to kiss me when he gets back from Marks and Spencer's. After Marks and Spencer's shop, he never wants to give me a kiss.
Yeah.
Went upstairs and brushing his teeth frantically
straight away, and that's why why he's bought a little dustbuster for the car.
Yeah. Everything makes sense now.
Oh dear. Well, it's not just that. No, you see, the thing about them is, they crumble.
Yeah.
So they do collapse. In fact, the truth is, I did this last night. Yeah. And I did it. And as I did it, I stopped in the Marks and Spencer's at Chiswick, and I thought, right, I'm just going to have one. And I had it, and I bit into it, and it collapsed, and so it fell.
Oh no!
Fell down the front of my shirt, you know, and so then I had custard down my shirt.
Yeah, you get topless in Marks and Spencer's.
Wiping custard your down.
What, new shirt?
So, yeah. Arriving in a new suit, my love. Hello, my dear.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that is
Carl
great.
Snacks. You shouldn't have mentioned Carl Snacks.
We're getting so many exclusives.
So many exclusives. Yeah.
You've never seen a curly fry and you eat custard tarts secretly in the car.
How did you get out? So you went down your top, but then what did you do? How did you get out of this?
I just kind of wiped it, went inside really quickly and changed.
Yeah. <It's> just like... She didn't wonder why you came downstairs in a new top.
Yeah. Hi, just going to change.
Change?
Get out of this work stuff.
Yeah. Go for good line.
It's like big day today.
All my work clothes.
We're interviewing the national custard throwers of Great Britain.
A very mess. I kept my mouth closed, dear. Don't worry. Let's run for your order. You would like some sparkling water. Brackets, no fascists at the table. You would like a bread selection. Those are different types of bread, especially the one from Ma Cuisine. Which is your favourite? Tataki beef and tataki tuna.
Tuna.
Together. Yeah, I can say tuna.
The beef of the sea.
Mum's tiger prawn curry for Maine with some homemade yogurt on it as well and some chips on the side, triple cooked, plenty of them. Champagne, what make was it again?
Bollinger.
Yes, please. And for dessert, some chocolate steam pudding. I think we have to say from M&S now.
No, not from M&S, actually.
No.
Because it's not the favourite. It's
not the favourite.
It's the make
do.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so it's E&O.
E&O.
What a delicious meal.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much. And obviously, we'll send you home in the car with a couple of custard tarts. Don't worry about it. Secret's safe with us.
Yeah.
She'll never know.
Thank you so much for coming on, Christian.
Thanks for having me on.
A pleasure.
Think.
Thank you, mate.
Thank you, Christian.
Oh, what an episode.
What a cheeky man.
I loved that episode. That's probably one of my favourites, I'd say.
Great stuff. I mean, so many moments in there. Christian saw a curly fry for the first time. I learned how to say mango lussy. And we got a little insight into his sneaky little habits in the car.
It's rare that a moment in history is recorded like that.
Yeah.
That Christian Gurumurthy learning about curly fries for the first time is now... recorded for posterity and is available forevermore.
To begin with, I thought he was just saying, I don't know where to get curly fries.
Yeah.
And then,
which is a fair enough question.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, couldn't think of it. You don't really see him around as much nowadays. And then when he was literally going, I don't know what you're talking about, I couldn't believe it.
Also, and don't forget to tweet Christian Gurumurthy with a picture of curly fries and say, what about these ones?
Yeah, that's very important. What about this one? What about these ones? Depending on how many are in the photo.
We will find a curly fry that he likes the look of. That
yes,
would be perfect.
We will do.
Thank you very much. His Twitter handle is @ChrisGM. @ChrisGM. Do tweet him pictures of curly fries and say, what about these ones?
And @OffMenuOfficial as well, if you want to just tweet us just in general. Just follow us, keep up to date on all our news.
Tag us in on Twitter and Instagram @OffMenuOfficial. Subscribe to the podcast.
Mm.
Review the podcast. Five stars. Thank you very much. Tell your friends about the podcast. All that jazz.
Christian did not say the secret ingredient, Ed. Did you notice that?
I did very notice good. That. And what was the secret ingredient called, James?
Syphilis.
Yeah, he didn't say that. He didn't say phyllis either. So well done, Krishnan, on having an excellent menu, I thought.
Yes, sounded very delicious. And a pudding that we've already had on the podcast as well. was the chocolate pudding with the filled with chocolate. That was Selassie's option as well. So that's the second time that's been in. So, you know, if there's anyone who listens to the podcast who's keeping a note of stuff, you know, maybe now's a good time to start.
That's straight to the top of the charts.
Yeah, so see what the most popular dishes are.
And if you like the cut of Krishnan's jib,
I do.
And you enjoy podcasts, he's got his own podcast called Ways to Change the World. And we've just had a look at the quality of guests he gets on, and it really is quite exceptional.
Yeah.
He's done one with Salman Rushdie, someone with Johnny Marr. These are great guests.
I was in a room once with Salman Rushdie and Yen Top. Just together.
Yeah?
They were hanging out. Everyone was looking at them. End of story.
So keep listening, do all the subscribing and all that jazz. Come back next week for another off-menu podcast. Goodbye, James.
Goodbye, Ed.
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.